Welcome back to the Kapower Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And we are
the Kapows. Kapow!
One of the questions that we get asked over and over from you guys is, what was our pregnancy journey like? What was our conception, our road to conception?
What was the conception like? Sorry, Mom.
Wasn't sure I really wanted to talk about it ever, but we're gonna talk about it this time.
Okay. Should I just come out and say it?
Sure.
So this was our third pregnancy. We had two others that didn't work out, but we're very happy to be here where we are right now.
Yeah.
I think it's something that a lot of people have had happen to them, but don't generally talk about it.
Let's back up. First, I guess, just to make sure that there is no confusion, this current pregnancy, this current baby is very healthy. We just had a doctor's appointment checkup. Like, everything with this pregnancy is very healthy. I think part of that, because this pregnancy is going so well, I do feel okay. Like, I am ready to talk about the two other pregnancies that didn't go so well. So this is not about this pregnancy. This pregnancy is going very well. Our first pregnancy ended in a miscarriage that wasn't even on our radar. Actually, but I guess, like, I should say both of the previous, our experiences with the two pregnancy losses, what happened, neither of those were on our radar. Mm-hmm. Let's go even further back with, like, Okay. Ovulation. So we started trying it. The first time we got pregnant, it took us like seven
or 8 months. Yeah.
It wasn't like a fertility thing. It was a figuring out ovulation tracking thing.
Yeah.
Which nobody really prepares you for. It's hard to track your ovulation. It's barbaric. The system that we use is just a little piece of paper, a little strip that you pee on, and you look at the lines and you hope it's dark, and then you wait till there's two. Like, how have we not, technology has not advanced.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Ovulation tracking. And you can, like, check your temperature every day, but I tried that. That's so hard to keep up with.
I think it's just crazy that in high school, they make it seem like you can get pregnant at any moment. And it's like, after going through this, it's like, how does anyone get pregnant ever?
Yeah. So our first, like, trying journey was really about figuring out my ovulation, was because it's, you know, we used an app tracker, and all of the data and all the stats in all those trackers are based on a standard 28-day female cycle where the woman ovulates on day 14. If you are any older, like, the older you get, the different your cycle, your ovulation, it all just, like, is not a statistic. Everyone is so different. So the data and the stats and all the predictions, they would be, you know, I'm sitting there like on day 14, like, what the heck? I can't find, it doesn't, I don't know, maybe I'm testing wrong. Let's just do this blindly. So we were basically, for the first seven tries, missing my ovulation window entirely, because I actually, when we finally did, it did work out, we realized my ovulation was happening on like day 18. Mm-hmm. And we were trying on days like 10 through 14. And then stopping. So weren't even in the right window, didn't realize it.
And I think for the first few months, we weren't like super serious about it too. Yeah. It was like, oh, if we miss, we're not, you know,
This
is going to take some time. There was no like urgency about it. Yeah,
totally. So like figuring out ovulation was this first hurdle. If I had any advice for anyone, it would be start tracking your ovulation long before you want to start trying, just so you know what your cycle is like, what your body is like, what day, what happens. You can start like noticing symptoms that happen on the days that you can figure out like your ovulation window, the patterns. And anyway, so I wish, if anything, I just wish I had started tracking ovulation sooner, but whatever. In the grand scheme of things, 6-7 months, not that long to, you know, finally get pregnant. So we get pregnant. This is when, when I told our baby announcement story on one of the first podcast episodes we did, I said that when I found out I was pregnant with this pregnancy, you were on a bachelor party. The truth is that story was about our first pregnancy, because with this pregnancy,
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
You stop, like, coming up with these creative ways to, like, tell your partner. And, like, every pregnancy test is just, like, I just came out immediately. Well, yeah, and it's just, like, I don't want to celebrate this thing that may not even be real again because I've celebrated before and it didn't work out. So it's all about, like, managing my expectations. So with this pregnancy, I did not have a cute story about how I told you. So, you know. Anyway, back to the first pregnancy. That's the one where you were on a bachelor party. And when I found out, and so I had to wait 2 days for you to come home to tell you because I didn't want to, like, call you in the middle of a bachelor party and be like, hey, you're going to be a dad. So then that's also when you came home and I surprised you with the pregnancy test taped to the White Claw. That's from that. And a lot of people asked to see that video and I've never showed it because it's 2 years old at this point. Anyway, so that was that. Then we went to...
It was right before we were set to go on vacation for our anniversary.
Right.
So we found out. We went to Maui.
That's when we went to Maui. That was my first experience not drinking on a vacation.
Yeah. We even filmed a really cute little video with a bartender asking if you wanted to drink. And you say no. And then we, like, looked at the camera.
So that's how you wanted to, like, tell our parents.
Let's send that video to them.
So we didn't because we were just going to hold on to that until we made it to our 8-week appointment.
But we spent the whole vacation not drinking.
Yeah. So when literally we come back from Hawaii from that trip, it was time for my 8-week appointment within like 3 or 4 days. Yep. So we go into the appointment and, you know, I'm a pretty, this pregnancy has definitely changed me, made me feel like a lot more like nurturing. Prior to this pregnancy, though, I think I was, like, pretty, like, blasé about the getting pregnant. And and it, like, I was excited about, like, having a child. But being pregnant, I wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm a mom now. I wasn't like, oh, I have this thing I need to take care of. I was like, it is a bunch of cells right now. You know, I wasn't, like, attached to it.
Yeah.
As much as I am, obviously, that I am now. Anyway, so going into that first appointment, miscarriage wasn't even on my mind.
Yeah.
There weren't, like, I didn't have any, there's so many different ways you can have miscarriages. And mine, I think, was called, like, a missed miscarriage, which basically means they go to do the ultrasound. And I'm, like, making jokes. I'm like, is it that little bean? Like, oh, it looks like a bean or whatever. And not even thinking that, like, bad news could be coming, that this was, like, a make or break moment. Wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah, I think, well, you don't know what you don't know. And so we had, this was our first doctor's visit, you know, or 8 weeks in. You know, it's, like, technically you're pregnant, but, like, obviously nothing about you has changed. Yeah. So I think we just went in.
Miscarriage just was not on my mind.
I mean, I knew miscarriage was a possibility, but I didn't think about it at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I guess in my mind, miscarriages happen later.
And in my mind, miscarriages happen.
Yeah.
And I had no symptoms, like nothing had happened to my body to indicate anything. So they do the ultrasound and the doctor is pretty quiet as I'm joking about beans. And then she's like, you know, unfortunately, I don't see a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. And this still wasn't like a heartbreaking moment for me yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. I just kind of like, I think I like got really, it like sobered me. And I was like, oh, okay. What do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
What are the next steps?
Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah.
You know, let's move on. You know, I wish I could say that like that miscarriage that it was something that was like easy to just brush off, but it's what happened like after the miscarriage that really made that like more of like a traumatic, awful experience. So the doctor has like another doctor come in and do another ultrasound. They have to have like two people confirm. No heartbeat. And then they give me my options and I'm told, I was just like, how do we move on the fastest? Cause I was like, I just want to try again immediately.
Yep.
I don't want to dilly dally. I don't want to take time to grieve. In my mind, I was like, okay, everyone says this happens. It happened. Let's move on. How do we do that as fast as possible? And so they tell me the fastest way would be to take these pills that basically pass the miscarriage for you. Because at this point, remember, I had no symptoms. It was just a missed miscarriage. It was just in there without a heartbeat and my body wasn't passing it yet. So you can pass it naturally, but it could take weeks. And I was like, I want to get back. Back in the saddle, you know, as fast as possible. So I didn't want to wait weeks to do it naturally. If I wanted to do it, like to have a procedure where they go in and take it out, it was going to take a week to get that done. So they were like, the fastest way possible is to take these pills right now and it'll pass in 24 hours.
Yep.
And then the sooner your cycle comes back, all that.
And they really sort of just presented these as two equal options.
Yeah.
They did not really go into the details about what it meant to take those.
Right.
You know, they said there might be some discomfort.
They were very
nonchalant about it.
Yeah. They do not describe what's going to happen to me or what could happen when you take these pills. They just were like, it'll pass. It'll pass them. This is the fastest way to pass the miscarriage. So we take the pills and then...
I didn't take the pills.
Yeah, yes. I took the pills and we go home and we're like, you know, prepping for whatever this is going to feel like. And then after like maybe 2 hours in, I started to get like bad cramps. And then I took just like Advil. They were like, you know, if you have any pain, just take ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my like pain management. So I was taking ibuprofen. It wasn't working. Then about like 4 hours in, it got really bad. And I was throwing up the pain was so bad. I was throwing up. I like thought we needed to go to the ER. I was in so much pain that I was like just lying on the bathroom floor. And like, it was like, the cramps were coming in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, like...
Do you want some tissue?
I realized that my body was having contractions.
Because
these cramps were coming, like, every 30 seconds. And they were really bad for, like, 10, 15 seconds. And I was like, how did nobody tell me that what these pills basically do is they force your body into labor to pass this miscarriage.
Yeah.
And I am in so much pain and I'm just laying on the bathroom floor and I'm like, is this what it's supposed to? They told me nothing to where I'm like, should we be going to the ER? Am I having like an adverse reaction? And
So we didn't end up going anywhere. I just kind of wrote it out. It was like the most painful thing I've ever been through.
Yeah.
And
it was just, for me, I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, you're just on the floor crying, puking, and I'm giving you as much medication and towels and blankets and stuff, but like, I can't, there's nothing to do, you know, you just have to go through this. And so yeah, it was obviously very, very traumatic for you and just very hard for me watching you go through this and just being angry that the doctors didn't prepare us for this. Mm-hmm. You know, literally said there might be some mild discomfort. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how that can be the description of what she's going through right now, but.
And maybe it's my fault for not Googling it. I don't know. But you expect your doctor to be more mm-hmm. knowledgeable than Google. So then we go through that. And that was on like a Friday. I have to go back in on Tuesday to make sure that everything passed. And I have a different OB. I went through like 6 different OBs during this process, which is like a rotating door of doctors. They were like, oh, okay, so you took the miso, I don't even know what it's called, but you took that, how'd it go? And I was like, why did you, nobody told me how painful this was going to be. I was like, this is the worst pain I've ever been through. Nobody warned me. And they were like, oh yeah, well, this one OB, she said pain is perceived differently by different women. Pain is perception. And I almost like stormed out of there. I was mm-hmm. like, are you kidding? That's your response? Pain is perception. I perceived the pain. Then I had a nurse tell me, you know, oh, well, some women don't even feel it. So it's like, we don't really want to scare people. Like, everyone had an excuse mm-hmm. for why nobody told me that it was going to be insanely painful.
Yeah.
And then, so they did an ultrasound. It did not all pass. I still had tissue. And so they wanted me to take the pills again. And I was like, did you not hear me? Did yeah. you not hear what I just said? You want me to do that again? Are you crazy?
Yeah. It was just very, very tone deaf. Like, it's like they weren't like listening to your story.
Or they didn't believe me.
Yeah. And I think it's just wild that like, they also didn't present the idea to you that, hey, the pills don't always work. And right. if they don't work, you either have to do it again or have the procedure that you could just have, you know, right now.
Right.
So that, to me, that was wild. It's just like they didn't explain no. the options at all.
So after that, there was still tissue. They were like, you can wait and come back in a week, see if more passes. You can do the pills or we can do the procedure. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just wait. We had to go to a wedding. So I was like, maybe I'll like dance it out, the tissue, you know, gravity will help me.
That's how science works, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So we go in and they're like, no, there's still tissue there. So at this point in my mind, I just wanted to get back on track. I just mm-hmm. wanted to get this over with so that my cycle would return and we could try again immediately. And so every time we go back and there's still tissue in there, my cycle was not going to come back. It was delaying it a week every time. And so at that point, I was like, at that point, there was an OB that actually was amazing that we discovered. And she was like, I think you should come back in 2 days and get the procedure and we'll just clear it out
mm-hmm.
And be done with it. And so.
And she was like apologizing for what happened.
What everyone else did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We finally got that taken care of. The procedure, by the way, took all of 5 minutes. There was like no downtime when I got home. Like that was mild discomfort. Talk mm-hmm. about I've had pap smears hurt more than that. Like, mm-hmm. like this was nothing by comparison. There's risks associated with everything, obviously. Like you could get scar tissue and stuff from just any instruments in your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. Thankfully, my cycle returned immediately. They told me to wait 1 cycle before trying again, and we did. And then they also tell you you're, like, super fertile.
Yeah, so you're much more likely to get pregnant again after a miscarriage.
Because your uterus is, like, primed and prepped. But in that time, so after that first miscarriage,
more of the experience that was really bad for me was what people like said to console me, which I is like, everyone said, well, miscarriages are really common, as if like that's supposed to make me feel better about this experience I just went through. Mm-hmm. And I would go, oh, did you have one? And they go, no, but it's like 1 in 4 women. And I'm like, well, I'm looking at 4 women. Am I the one? You're telling me I'm in a room of 4 women and I'm the one? Like, it's not that, to me, that's not that common. And also, car crashes are common. If someone gets in a car crash, do you go, to make them feel better, do you say, well, car crashes are pretty common?
Never thought about it like that. Yeah.
Like, that is not what anybody wants to hear when you've mm-hmm. just gone through. Like, I still hate that if anyone listen, if like, if you think that that is what would console someone, don't say it. Don't say it. Say, I'm sorry. I don't know what I can't even imagine what your experience was like. I'm so sorry. That's mm-hmm. all. And that's it. It's common. So that like downplays it. Nope. Don't care how common it is. Like, it does not feel common in that moment. It feels very lonely. Mm-hmm. So that was like just the most like belittling and condescending thing to hear from people was like how, well, it's very common. So no. So after that, we got pregnant like immediately after, mm-hmm. you know, waiting one cycle, then we got pregnant immediately, which was great. But also like, we weren't celebrating.
Because we just went through this, you know, crazy experience where it's like, okay, now we know.
You can't.
Because we also like told people a little early. You know, we waited. I guess
we didn't. We only told like very close friends, yeah. like the people that I wanted for support. Mm-hmm. And then in that first.
Yep.
In that first pregnancy. So in the second one, the first 4 weeks leading up to that first doctor's appointment, we're not celebrating. We're not even thinking. We're literally think I was just like, it's not real till I get a heartbeat, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And so we go and there is a heartbeat and we're like, okay, we did it. we made it over the hurdle. We can exhale.
Yeah. Very naive.
But how do you know that? Yeah. Like, you're just like, what are the chances? Right. I just kept being like, okay, fine. Yes, if you have one miscarriage, there are odds that you're more likely to have a second miscarriage than someone who's never had a miscarriage before. I knew all those stats. But once we made it past that 8 week, that heartbeat, I know you're still in the miscarriage window, but I was just like, okay, it's not gonna happen again to us. Like, you never think mm-hmm. it's gonna be you. And so that one, we still were like pretty hesitant about telling people, but I think we told family around like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Which still was very early. And we were like, hey, we're not quite celebrating. Like, please, nobody get excited yet. We need to make it to our next weeks. Appointment, which yeah. is like 14 or something.
14 weeks. Okay.
And it's hard to tell parents and try to tell them, like, don't get excited. We're not trying to get our hopes up still. Mm-hmm. So it's just like all these things that make pregnancy, you're supposed to be excited about and happy and all this journey. And then you're not like,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like human emotion, right? You're just protecting yourself
yeah.
from the possible negative outcome.
Yeah. So then because of my age, we elected to do early genetic testing. And we were like 12 weeks in at that point. And we got the results from my blood work came back. There were genetic abnormalities. And it was like, they were like 99% certain that it was accurate and that it would be a non-viable baby, non-viable pregnancy. And so...
Which again was just
not on
like
our radar.
Not on our radar. You know, it's like one of those things where they're like, hey, you know, there's a less than 3% chance of this happening. And so like in my mind, I'm like, okay, then, you know, yeah. you just don't ever consider that you could be the one of the people in the 3% or, you know, whatever percentage it was. But
yeah, so we had to, so the blood work and then they make you do more invasive tests to really confirm, which yep. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Glad to do the more work.
Mm-hmm.
And
also once they triple confirmed with all the different tests.
It was, and at that point we had told family, we had told even more friends, like it felt like we made it to 12 weeks and that felt like the number that you're supposed to wait before you tell your inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had just told a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And
it was mostly me because I was like, I want to tell people and you're like, no, let's wait. And I'm like, no, let's just, what can go wrong? Let's tell people. So that's my fault.
So then that one was much more heartbreaking of like with the first pregnancy, what happened after the miscarriage and during the miscarriage, like all of that was heartbreaking and traumatic.
Yeah.
But not necessarily like the miscarriage itself. I didn't have any emotion towards yet.
Yeah. Well, because it's like you just didn't feel pregnant. You know, it didn't feel real anyways.
The second one, making it to 12 weeks, telling people.
Mm-hmm.
I started a name list.
Yeah.
That one was really, like, that one was hard. And then the part that got, like, the hardest part for me was just this, like, how many people we had to, like, tell
mm-hmm.
that it didn't work out. It's, like, it's not that I was, like, embarrassed. It's not, like, a shameful thing. It's just, like,
you don't want to relive that over and over. You know, every time you have to tell someone, you're reliving that.
I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to, yeah, I didn't want everybody's I'm sorry's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was actually, I was embarrassed that we told so many people early. At 12 weeks doesn't even seem early, but I was embarrassed that we told so many people. That's what I was embarrassed about. Not like embarrassed that this happens, because I know there should be no shame with like anything that happens in pregnancy, but I was embarrassed that we thought we made it through. And then, you know, because it was like, in the middle of COVID, this was 2022 at that point, beginning of 2022, I have to have a procedure done where they put me under. So I have to, this one isn't like an in-office visit. I have to go to the hospital. I have to go into an OR. And they don't allow anyone to come with me.
Yeah.
And so it's this idea that like it takes two people to get pregnant. But I'm the one who has to go through it alone. It's like, it just like there's so much about pregnancy that is just like, it all comes down to the woman. It all falls on the woman. And you are the most supportive partner I could have ever asked for. But it's happening to my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was all of that. And then for them to be like, he has to wait in the car. He can't come in, like, to the waiting room. They didn't even let you in the hospital.
Yeah.
I was just like, I felt so, like, alone and frustrated. It's just like, to me, it's not fair. You contributed. It was your baby. You are technically a patient as well. Like, you not getting to come in with me was so, I just hated, like, everything. I just felt, like, completely abandoned. And so that was part, like, all of these emotions going through. I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want anyone's condolences. I don't want to talk about this with anyone. So the traumatizing part for that one was, like, it left me feeling just so bitter.
Yeah.
I was so bitter about just how everything comes down to the woman. It just made me just like so resentful of anatomy, of just like, of just like, it doesn't matter. You know, if we want a child,
it all comes down to me. And then to think about, like, to have one baby, I would have to be pregnant collectively for 16 months. It's not just 9 months.
Yeah.
To if you're lucky. So after that happened, I had you text like everyone that knew. It was like, Lauren doesn't want to be texted at all. I didn't want, what do you say when people say, I'm so sorry? What do you say? Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's not okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to pretend that it didn't happen. I just didn't want everybody's condolences.
Yeah. It was interesting, I think, because the first time we went through it, you said, like, why doesn't anybody talk about this? And then the second time, you were that, you know, it's like you didn't want to talk about it. You didn't want to have those conversations with the friends. And it's like, now we get it. You know, that's why. But
yeah. And it made me so resentful and so bitter that I was like, this isn't a good headspace to like immediately start trying again.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, this is wrong. This is not the way to into motherhood, into parenthood.
Yeah.
So we took a long time off from trying again.
Yep.
I wanted to get my life back for a few months, mm-hmm. where I could drink and have fun and not be tired and not be nauseous. Like, I wanted to have fun again, before putting myself through that again.
Yeah.
So we took a long time off, and then had
conversations on, do we really want to do this again? You know, like, you know, we did the genetic testing to confirm that, like, truly those events were not related. We weren't more predisposed to have genetic issues again. So right. That was, like, comforting, mm-hmm. knowing that we just got really, really unlucky two times in a row.
Yeah.
So I think after doing all that testing, it, like, confirmed that, okay, if we want to, we can try again. And, like, we're not statistically higher likely to have another miscarriage. Yeah. But it was like, okay, if we do this again, like, you know,
How many times does lightning strike?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times are we going to put ourselves through this before we essentially give up?
Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
So I think taking the time off was good, not take time to forget about it, but to, like, get back to normal, like you said, get our life back to normal a little bit, travel, have fun, enjoy ourselves. And then that led us to, like, January of this year, right?
Kind of October. So we had taken so much time off. Like, basically it had been a year since we had to track ovulation. And again, I should have been tracking my ovulation in the off season, but I didn't. So when we went back to tracking ovulation, I completely forgot that my ovulation cycle was like 4 days later than most statistics. And so once again, we were trying outside of the window, and we tried like two or three times. And I was like, I'm not even getting confirmation that I'm ovulating. This must be a fertility issue now. And I called to make an appointment with fertility. I was like, let's figure out what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I couldn't get an appointment for 2 months. I was like, oh, that's really annoying. Not great for my schedule. I was like, I was ready to just, you know, it's like when you decide to make it happen, you want it. You don't want to wait around again.
Right.
And so I made the appointment, and like a week or two before the appointment, we found out that we were pregnant.
Well, and we realized that we were tracking wrong.
Oh, yeah. So I finally, basically just kept testing the ovulation strips. I was like, I'm just going to keep going. Let's just see what happens. And it was like, then I finally got a confirmation 4 days after we thought the window was. And I was like, and then I went back through my old history, and I was like, well, lo and behold, the last two times I got pregnant, it happened. I ovulated on day like 17 or 18.
was like, how did I forget that?
That was an important detail to forget.
Should have written notes to myself. You just don't think you need that information anymore.
Well, I think now, if we ever decide to have another child, we will know.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, okay.
I wish I could say it was just, like, beautiful from there on out. But after having, like, two bad experiences, the third one, I had so much anxiety. So much anxiety with the whole time.
Yeah.
Every appointment, I was just, like, waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah.
You know, we did genetic testing again. It was all clear. Didn't matter. Like, the doctor, everything looked good. I still was like, I just don't believe it yet. I don't feel like I'm allowed to celebrate yet for the longest time.
I think for the first two, it was like we were excited to go to the doctors. And, you know, every doctor was this new, you know, every
milestone.
It was this, you know, fun milestone. And it felt like the opposite of that the third time, where it was like we just were dreading going every single time because it was an opportunity for them to tell us that the
bad news. Yeah. And so, like, I got so much anxiety with, like, the internet. You know, people online started to guess that I was pregnant because I hadn't posted about alcohol, even though I, like, pre-recorded some and sprinkled it in and then had you do some. I got anxious every time somebody was like, I think she's pregnant. I would, like, delete those comments because I was like, but what if this doesn't work out? Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like we could tell anyone and celebrate yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even at our like 14-week appointment or one of the later appointments, maybe it was 18. The doctor, I just was like, can you just tell me outright? Am I like, what are we in the clear here? Am I allowed to celebrate this yet? Like, everyone just keeps saying everything looks good, but nobody has said, hey, based on your history, you can take a breath now.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally was like, oh, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's go through it. All of your tests are clear. Everything looks good. You should tell friends and family, like, there is no reason for you not to be celebrating right now. And it was just like, it needed a doctor to, like, actually, she's a midwife. So it was like, she's the one who's been the most, like, gentle with us. And so then we finally, like, we're like, okay, we can tell people. Mm-hmm. So we waited till like 18 weeks. Most people start telling people at 12. And we waited till 18. And it just, even then it was like, I wish I could say like it felt like a big relief to tell everyone immediately, but it took.
Still in the back of your mind.
It did for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why like hiding it with alcohol from so many people, friends, gave me so much anxiety and so many waiters messing it up at restaurants. Because I was just like, thank you. You just ruined this. Now I was just already anticipating like having people figure out that I was pregnant and then having to deal with the anxiety of them finding out that we lost another pregnancy. And so it's just like so much. I just had so much anxiety with like feeling like people were talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's like, even though we had this third pregnancy where we were, all the signs were that everything was going well and healthy, like still had so much like anxiety and like couldn't celebrate for the longest time.
Yeah.
All of that said, I probably hit like maybe 20 weeks and I felt the baby kick and I was like, I like started to feel like it was real and that it was not going anywhere and that we were in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, yeah, telling everybody. Then at that point, I feel like there was a huge weight lifted.
Yeah. Became fun.
So now it's been, you know, I've had a great pregnancy other than the first trimester being so incapacitated, which was actually probably for the best because then I didn't want to be around people and didn't have to lie to people.
Physically couldn't anyways.
But that also took a toll on me because I like couldn't make videos.
Mm-hmm.
And making videos makes me happy. And then I just couldn't. So
getting back to like being honest with people and then getting to make videos and people caring about our pregnancy, like all of those things made me a lot happier. And then the second trimester was like glorious mm-hmm. and golden. And it's been a very like good pregnancy so far mm-hmm. after, you know, 18 weeks of misery, of anxiety.
And two miscarriages.
And two losses.
Yeah.
And the reason I like decided to talk about this, even though I knew like how hard this would be, I didn't want to talk about it like as soon as we announced we were pregnant. I was like, this is just, I am still like just coming off of 18 weeks of being anxious about this. I'm not ready to like just be negative. I need, mm-hmm. and so honestly, having such a beautiful pregnancy this whole second trimester it's been so good that now I feel like I can talk about the hard part. And I really wanted to talk about it partially because I was getting so many questions of people asking, you know, people telling me that they were on their trying to conceive journey and it wasn't going well. And I just remember, you know, after those first two losses, people would post on social media that they were pregnant. And then my brain would go, would just immediately get jealous and assume that it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like, wow, they just got pregnant. Just right. like that. No, they don't have any trauma.
But of course, that's not true. That, you know, no one posts the negative stuff on social media. So it's like,
you really don't know what anyone's going through. And
right.
I just wanted to like, I wanted to talk about it so that people didn't feel like when they look at us and they look at our podcasts and they look at our videos, it's like, oh, well, it was so easy for them. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it easy for me? I just didn't mm-hmm. want people to just compare themselves to me. Because I know how much it sucks to compare yourself to other people when you're struggling to get pregnant.
Yeah. I think that's amazing.
Pregnant. So
it's a lot of, it was very hard for you.
Also probably like the hormones don't make it any easier.
Blame it on the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want people like comparing themselves to others because it's not going to help. Nothing mm-hmm. helps. Anyway. Do you have any, what was your experience like that you want to add?
I think for me, the first loss, you know, everyone was like, I'm so sorry for your loss. Everyone was, you know, they seemed more upset than I was. For me, like even emotionally, I just like was not attached yet. And so it was like, oh, that's just science. You know, sometimes that happens. And so obviously, it took a physical and emotional toll on you, and it sucks that I can't do anything to help that. The second one, obviously, because it was more, we were further along, definitely hurt more. But I think, you know, it affects women so much more. Just because it's inside of you, you know, where it's like, I'm trying from the outside. And you know, I'm really excited to have this baby and, you know, but it's still not inside of me. And so the book I'm reading is like, men are always like a trimester behind the woman. And so I think the first one was like, I just wasn't even like, it didn't feel any different, you know? So the second one was harder for sure. And I, you know, I was more willing to talk about it and everything. But again, it's like, it's not affecting me physically and like, it's just affecting me in a different way. And maybe it's just how we process things as well. The important thing is, you know, people only post the good stuff on social media. No one posts the bad stuff. And so whether it's pregnancy related or other things, it's like, it's so hard to, you know, compare yourself to people because you have no idea what else is going on in their life.
Yeah.
And hey, maybe everything is positive. Great. But for the most part, for most people, that's probably not the case. I'm just excited that we finally got one.
Yeah.
She's going to be active based on her kicking.
Yeah. And two, like we waited so long to learn the gender that I really feel like in the last 4 weeks,
You know, they say if you don't, I never thought I had maternal instincts. I still don't really think that I have maternal instincts. But they say like, oh, well, once you have a baby, like you're going to be one of those people. And I was like, I don't see that happening. And then like, honestly, finding out the gender, like, I think that's why I was so emotional at the gender reveal. It was like, that made it so much more real. And it's like every milestone in the pregnancy is like another hurdle that we crossed, and like finding out that it's a she, just like, it's like we're not having a baby, we're having a daughter.
Got a lot more real at that point.
Yeah That video was so hard for me to edit. I was just so emotional watching it over and over. But since finding out the gender, it has become so much more real. I feel, especially with how much she kicks, like, I just feel so much more, like, nurturing now.
Hey, you'll maybe even be comfortable holding the baby.
Yeah. I want to end this positively.
Co-positively.
Co-positively. So, what are, like, some of the most surprising things about this pregnancy? For me, like, what has been surprising is how, like, attached and nurturing. I'm just like not a nurturing person usually. And I think even with you, I feel like I've been more nurturing. And also surprising is like how much I really enjoy you taking care of me. Like you doing the dishes and you just it, like making my bagel before I get out of bed. Like all you make my coffee, you make like all these things. I really enjoy being taken care of as someone who was so independent. Like, I've really enjoyed being nurtured while I'm nurturing, you know?
Yeah.
That was surprising for me. I mean, I'm also surprised at how much all the maternity things cost.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What surprised me is how much money you have to spend before the baby's even born on all the crap that babies need, which like I knew that they need all those things, and all those things obviously cost money. It's just, it's been shocking to me.
It does feel like there's a markup.
Yeah.
It feels like suddenly everything has a baby markup. That it shouldn't cost this much, but it does because they know people will spend.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's because it's like everyone wants to spend whatever it takes to have the best for their child, right?
Right.
And so it's like half the time, is it expensive because it's good or is it expensive because they think people will pay for it?
Guilty.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone wants, it's not necessarily you want what's best for your child, but you also want, I think, like what's going to make this process, what's going to make your life easier. So it feels like if you buy the more expensive stroller, that means it's going to be lighter. That means it's going to be easier to get into your trunk. That means the baby's going to love it. Your life will be easier if you spend more money on that. And that's definitely not necessarily the case. You know, it's like, why is a baby bouncer $200? Baby Bjorn, I'm looking at you. I registered for it. It's on my registry. Why are you $200? Why? Why is the diaper bag that I have $200? I don't understand, but I can't stop.
I think the other thing that's surprising to me is how interested people are in pregnancy and, you know, our pregnancy, but just pregnancy in general. I think for me, admittedly, I didn't really care when, like, you know, people are like, you know, I've gotten messages from people that I haven't talked to in a long time congratulating me and everything. And I was just like, wow, that's really nice. And I think now I find myself doing that for people when I find out they're pregnant. But like most of my life, it was like, oh, you're pregnant, like on purpose? You know? It was.
That is such a thing that you say in your like 20s.
That's yeah.
a joke that you make in your 20s.
Yeah. And that's I carried that into my 30s. And just, you know, I was happy for people, obviously, but I'm like, that's just not where I am in my life. So like, I know that people want kids and you should be happy for people who have kids. But like, it never was this like overwhelming, joyous sensation.
I agree. I'm also surprised at how interested people are in our pregnancy. Because yeah, I don't think, unless it was like really close friends of mine where I would ask them hundreds of questions, knowing that in a few years I'd be having a baby too. Like all that stuff fascinates me. Other than like my close friends, if I found out someone was pregnant and just like, congrats, didn't even think to be like, how are you feeling? And on the end, the internet's response to like every video we post that has to do with the pregnancy, like people love babies. And I had no idea.
I didn't know that. Yeah. But it's been awesome. It's been overwhelming.
It's been overwhelming.
I find myself like paying it forward because it's like, oh, that felt really good when people did that for me.
Yeah.
I want to do that for people now too. So I guess it's like once you go through it, you know, you sort of like experience it, you know, the ups and downs that happen. And so you want to like support people.
Yeah.
I think the other funny thing is how many people try to get rid of all their baby stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And dump it on us. And they're like, we have so much crap. You know, blah, blah, I hate it so much. Do you want it?
Yeah. Like you're not selling it well.
But again, overwhelming generosity. You know, people are very generous and want to give us things, but it's hilarious. Or it's like, we're not Goodwill.
Right. Yeah, one of our friends wanted to give me her maternity clothes. She is like 100 pounds. I'm like, Carla, they're not going to fit. Why? Go donate them. Like, I guess you can bring them to me and then I'll donate them for you. But like, we can't share maternity clothes. We can't even share regular clothes. Like,
yeah,
it's like the thought that counts.
Of course.
There are some friends that I'm very excited to get their baby shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me it.
Yeah. I'm also just getting all sorts of ads on Instagram and social media now for cute baby clothes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, so there's this one, it's like a little Detroit Tigers, like tutu. And I love it. I'm eating it all up. And I'm just like, I'd never thought that I would care about baby girls' clothes.
This would be really interesting. It's not a struggle that I ever thought we would face. It's like, okay, you care about fashion, right?
Yeah.
So do I. I like cute clothes. You like cool clothes. We both have to agree on like styling our child.
I know.
There's going to be some fights.
Well,
we have to figure out what her style is.
Yeah, I think
until she can.
You follow my lead and we'll go from there.
I don't think so. I did not carry this baby to have you get to dress her first.
We'll let the internet decide.
No, we won't. This is not, we are not crowdsourcing this one.
You do your like, help me pick out a dress. We'll do like, help us pick out the baby clothes.
Sure. Yeah, maybe we should do a help us choose an outfit for the baby to leave the hospital.
Yeah.
I've gotten, you know, a lot of people will say, don't waste your money on baby clothes. They're never going to wear them in the first few months or whatever. And I'm like, you don't understand. This is the most exciting part of the registry. All I care about are the cute baby clothes.
Yeah.
I'm buying the onesies. I'm not buying like, yeah, it looks probably like socks or maybe a waist for a newborn or like, I'm not buying pants. I'm not buying two pieces, but there are so many cute baby onesies, that, especially coming into the holiday season. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't care what anyone says. No one, all the advice about not buying kids clothes for their newborn is falling on deaf ears because it makes me so happy. These baby clothes, these newborn clothes are so cute.
Even if she just wears it for a photo.
And poops immediately on it, I don't care. I want to open it. I want to put her in it. Don't care. I'm so excited about the clothes. Because everything else in the registry is so boring.
Baby wipes and
yeah,
changing tables. And
yeah. Bottles.
Ugh.
Pacifiers.
Ugh.
So the clothes are what give me joy. Let me have it.
Okay. All right, you get month one, I get month two. We just alternate months.
It'll be very interesting to see what style she like rebels with after her parents dressed her in crazy stuff for a few years.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, once she wants to pick out her own clothes,
mm-hmm.
what direction she goes. If she decides to be very girly, I'm going to let her. It's going to hurt me. If she's like, I want to wear baby pink and I want frills. I'm going to be like, fine. You sure? But okay, fine.
Hurts you a little inside.
Yeah. If she wants to play with a kitchen set, it's going to hurt. I'm like, what about this play computer? How about that? No, I think I need it to be in the kitchen, Mom. I'm going to be like, we didn't go through years of this for you to get a kitchen play set. But if she wants it, I'm not going to not.
Yeah. It's not playing kitchen. She's playing head chef or something.
That's cute.
Yeah.
And she starts throwing knives. Like, oh, it's got serious. This was an emotional episode. You know, not our usual format.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important.
Yep.
I look forward to the next episode that we can film where we can go back to just, I can make fun of you for mispronouncing words.
buoy.
So many people were like, Sean has made me think that I don't know how to pronounce the word anymore.
I'm never living that one down.
Pregnancy brain affects both of us.
Next week, we'll be back to fun, outrageous stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your comments and suggestions every week. If you have any for the next, feel free to drop those in YouTube comments or on Spotify suggestion box.
DM us on Instagram.
DM us on the Kapower Hour Instagram. Sean's supposed to have a bot that talks back to you. We're not sure if it's working yet.
I suspect it's not.
We'll be back next week with something much more fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for caring.
Yeah, appreciate the support. Makes us feel good.
We are
Kapout. You need some pizza.
Kapizza?
Kapizza.
Let's get some Kapizza. Okay. Okay. That made me really happy. Bye.